Well, good morning. Good to see you again today. Appreciate you being with us in our study time together. It's going to be a little bit unusual today. I knew Easter's coming. I've been thinking about, I know we've been studying faith, but these scriptures we won't look at this morning, I've just had a hard time getting away from them. And I think we need to look at those together today and think on them. So ask if you will turn to John, and we're going to begin to look in chapter number 14 as we begin to, and we're going to do a lot of just reading God's word today. I want to bring something to you, to your mind as we begin, but bow with us in a word of prayer, and then we'll look at our study together again. Lord, we do thank you. Lord, we thank you for your watch care. And through that watch care, you brought us together today that we might study and fellowship together, that we might talk about you, Lord, that we might see your love and your grace and your mercy as it has been extended to us through your precious Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ, whom, Lord, you saw fit to have him to pay the sacrifice for our sins. And Lord, it's hard for us to comprehend that kind of love. But Lord, we sure are thankful that you could love us that much. We ask that you'd bless us now as we read through your scriptures. May we be more appreciative when we leave today than we did when we came of your marvelous grace and your love. Lord, for those who are listening in, we'd ask a special blessing for them. Be with us now, and may you be exalted. May we be humble before you. Holy Spirit, lead and guide and direct this day. In the name of Christ, we do pray. Amen. How many of you believe in God? Okay. We have a lot of people in the world that say they believe in God. But where would you be this morning if we only had God and there was no Christ and there was no Holy Spirit? What I want us to look at this morning is God's total plan. I know that it's going to be a little bit different as we look at this morning, thinking on Easter, but As I was reading, something just stood out every time I turned around. And I don't know where you'd ever thought about it or not, but in the 14th chapter of John, the word I is used 36 times. In the 15th chapter of John, the word I is used 20 times. In the 16th chapter, it's used 29 times. In the 17th chapter, it is used 30 times. So I want us this morning, as we look at God's word, and I said I'm going to do a lot of reading today, and I want us to look and think on Christ as he now journeys toward Calvary. And those things that he said to his disciples as he goes closer and closer to the hour when he will face Calvary. I also want us to look at the intercessory prayer that he prayed. And I don't have a bit of problems with all these eyes that we see. I have a problem a lot of times with individuals that say, I've done so and so, and I've done so and so, and I've done so and so. But I'm glad and I'm thankful to the God who created this universe that he saw fit to send his Son to pay the sacrifice for our sins and put him in a position that he can say all these eyes. Because without these eyes that we're going to talk about today, you and I would be in a bad situation. Because we'd be headed for an eternal hell with no hope. None whatsoever. So let's just look at a few things today about our Christ, about our Lord and Savior. Yeah. And I don't hardly know where to start. But as we look at the 14th chapter, we look at the beginning, and I was going to start at 16, but I feel a little bit led to begin a little bit earlier. So let's begin at number one. It said, let not your heart be troubled. And boy, that's a good way to start something off. Why let not your heart be troubled? You believe in God, believe also in what? In me. So now who's the me in this particular verse? This me in this particular verse, we know is Christ, okay? So you believe in God, now believe in me. And you must believe in Christ. That's the only means of our salvation. Now, he said, in my Father's house are many mansions, but not so I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. Notice the mansions are there, but I've got to go make provisions for you if you're ever going to get there. There's a lot of mansions, and according to God's word, it said, in my Father's house are already present many mansions. Now, if you and I are ever going to see one of them, it's going to be because Jesus Christ has prepared the way that we might obtain that mansion. Every one of us, wages of sin and death, and every one of us was under the penalty of sin. And there's a price that must be paid for that sin. We know that according to God's word. And we're coming to the time that we celebrate Easter. And we know that as we celebrate Easter, we celebrate the resurrection. But there's got to be a death before there can be a resurrection. So we know that Christ paid the price for our sins on Calvary, suffered, bled, and died, buried, was raised the third day. But let's look at some things he said in the process. In verse number 3 said, and if I go and prepare a place for you, if I go and prepare a place for you, if I go where? And see, now as we look at this morning, we know where he's going to end up. But there's a whole lot between where we are in John chapter number 14 and where we're going to see as we look at Easter and on 40 days past when he ascends to the Father and sits down on the right hand of the throne of God. There's a lot of things going to take place from where we are in this scripture this morning. to where we'll be after Easter, and then his appearing all those times past his resurrection. But he says now, I go now, prepare the place for you, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, ye know, and the way ye know. And Thomas said unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus said unto him, I am. Here's an I with an am. I am. And I am what? The. Not a, but the. The only way. He says, and I am the only truth, and I am the only life. So I'm the only way. I'm the only way to know the truth. I'm the only way for you to obtain eternal life. It comes no other way. Now, no man cometh to the Father but by me. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Now, in the process of this, when we look at it, in this dispensation of grace that we live in, as we've been talking about faith, it says, we're no man come to the Father unless the Spirit draw him. Now, go over to in verse number 16 and look at what Christ says. Now, Christ knows that he's fixing to endure Calvary, going to be resurrected and ascend to the Father. He knows what's ahead. And he said, I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you for how long? Forever. Even the Spirit of truth. We just read, he says, I am the truth. And here he says, I'm going to send you another comforter. I'm your comforter while I'm present, but I'm going to send you another one. And he says, he is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. And we're talking about Christ, who is walking with the disciples. He's talking to the disciples, and he was walking with them here on this earth. He was dwelling with them. And he was their confidant. What did he say that was going to happen when they arrested Christ and had the mock trial? What did he say was going to happen to his disciples? He said they're going to scatter like a covey of quail. See, they did not have the presence of the Holy Spirit in them like we do today. And Christ was their comforter. Now, he said, but I will not leave you. Now, I want you to notice, and what I want you to start picking up on in this, is the I's in these verses. In verse number 18, he says, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. And yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. Now you think about what he has just told his disciples. I'll not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. And yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. Look at a phrase in this particular verse as we begin to break it down. Yet a little while, and the world does what? Seeth me no more. But how about the disciples? What does he say to the disciples? But ye see me, because I live, and ye shall live also. Now, this goes farther than just his earthly ministry and his earthly walk with those disciples. How do you and I see Christ today? How do we know that there's a God today? How do we know there's a Christ today? How many of us in here has ever seen God? How many of us in here have ever seen Christ with physical eye? Not a single solitary one of us. But we've seen him how? We've seen him through our spiritual eyes. And we know that he's real. And he's just as real in our spiritual eyes as he was to these apostles in the physical eye. But he says, now I'm fixing to leave. And the world's not going to see me anymore. But guess what? You are. Why? Because I'm going to send another comforter. I'm going to send somebody that's going to fill in for the absence of me in a physical body. And that one that's going to fill in for me in the absence of the physical body is going to be that comforter, and that comforter is going to be the Holy Spirit. So he says, now, I'm going to leave. Verse number 20, and at that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I what? And I in you. I'm in the Father, the Father's in me, and I'm going to be in you also. In you also. And look at the eyes as we look at this. Look at verse number 26. But the Comforter, and he's going to tell us who it is, which is what? Which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send. So where is he going to come from? He's going to come from the Father, and the Father's going to send him, and he's going to send him how? In my name. And then when he comes, he will teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. And if those apostles could really focused on that, it would save them a lot of pain. He says, peace I'm going to leave with you. He says, let not your heart be troubled, and be not afraid. Ye have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If you love me, you will rejoice because I said, I go, look at the eyes, I go unto the Father, for my Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before, it has come to pass. And now I have told you what? Before it come to pass, that when it has come to pass, you might do what? You might believe, and you might believe what? Believe what I've told you. Just believe what I've told you. Hereafter, I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh and hath nothing in me. But that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandments, even so, what? I do. Just look at the eye. Arise and let us go thence. Now, look at chapter number 15. And look at verse number 26. And then we're going to go right on into chapter number 16 also. But when the Comforter is come, whom what? Whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of what? Of truth. Keep that word in mind, the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. So now, what is the work of the Holy Spirit? The work of the Holy Spirit is to testify of who? He is the truth, and he's going to testify of me Christ. And he's sent from the Father. Which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me, and ye also shall bear witness. So now what's going to happen to you? I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. I'm going to send the Holy Spirit from the Father. That Holy Spirit is going to testify of me. And then what position does that put them in? And what position does it put us in? Because we have been indwelled by the Holy Spirit. It puts us in a position to be in verse number 27, what? And ye also shall bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning. So we will bear witness of him as our Lord and as our Savior. These things have I spoken unto you, that you should not be offended. We need to pay attention to that verse. Because we can get bent out of shape right quick if somebody says a little something to us to hurt us feelings about what we believe or think or do. He said, don't be offended when you stand up for me. It don't make no difference. Now, look at the depth that he's going to talk to these apostles about. I don't think any of us have gone to the depth, or will go probably to the depth that these apostles did. These things have I spoken unto you, that ye should not be offended. They shall put you out of the synagogue. Yea, the time cometh. It's coming. Now think about what he just said. The time cometh. That means it's not here now, but it's coming. That what? That whosoever killeth you. That's pretty strong language, is it not? That tells them you're going to give the supreme sacrifice to stand up for your Savior. And those people that kill you, what are they going to think? They killeth you will think that he doeth God's service. They're going to kill you and think that they doeth God's service. It's pretty strong, is it not? These things which they do unto you, because they have not known the Father nor me. But these things have I told you, that when the time shall come, you may remember that I told you of them. These things I said not unto you at the beginning, because I was with you. But, and here's a but in this conversation. I'm telling you these things now because I have been with you, but I'm fixing to be separated from you. And I'm telling you what you can look forward to, these things that are going to happen. But these things have I told you, that when the time shall come, that you may remember that I told you of them. Now, verse number 5 says, but now I go my way to him that sent me. And none of you asked me, whither goest thou? But because I have said these things unto you, what? Sorrow hath filled your heart. Nevertheless, let me tell you something else. Let's go a little bit deeper in this conversation. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. He is truth, right? Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for me that I go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. Now, I want you to notice something in these particular verses. Now, the picture is leaving the focus on Christ for just a moment, and that's beginning to focus on the Comforter and the Holy Spirit. Let me tell you something. The Holy Spirit is not a thing. The Holy Spirit is a person. The Holy Spirit is a third part of the Trinity of God. Now, look at the verse that we've just read. Pay attention to what we've just read. He says, nevertheless, I tell you something. And the something I tell you is the truth. It is expedient for me that I go away, for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send, and what's the word? Him. Him. So he's already designated that it's an individual that is going to send. The Holy Spirit is a person. And he said, I'm going to send him unto you. Now, you watch these verses. I've told you to look for the eyes that we've been looking at. Now I want you to look for another little word in these verses. Another little word, and I've got it circled every time in my Bible. Now, all of a sudden, the him that we've just talking about is going to go to the he. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin because they believe not on me. Of righteousness because I go to my Father and ye see me no more. Of judgment because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. I've just unloaded a whole lot on them. It says, I think I'll stop for just a moment because you can't bear it right now. Verse number 13 says, howbeit, when what? He, and that classifies he what? He, the Spirit of truth, is come. He will guide you unto all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. You look at the he's in that. And what he's going to show them, he's going to show them the truth, number one. And he's also going to show them things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore I, there we're back to the eyes again. Therefore say I, that he shall take of mine and shall show it unto you. He shall take of what? Of mine and he's going to show it to you. So he's going to take my truth and show it to you. He's going to take my understanding and give you the understanding. But it's going to be done by the work of the Holy Spirit. Excuse me. Now, he tells them now, a little while and you shall see me. Again, a little while and you shall a little while and you shall see me, because I go to the Father. Excuse me, let me read that again. A little while and you shall not see me, and again a little while and you shall see me, because I go to the Father. What did he say in that verse? A little while, and you what? You won't see me. And again, a little while, and you shall see me, because I go to the Father. A little while, there's going to be a place called Calvary. A little while, I'm going to be nailed to the cross and shed my precious blood for your sin. They'll take me down from the cross. They'll bury me. And there's going to be a little while you won't see me. But then in just a little while, 3 days, and guess what? You'll see me again. Because he reveals himself several times after his resurrection. If they could only comprehend what he's telling them. Then said some of his disciples among themselves, "What is this that he saith unto us, a little while, then ye shall not see me, and again a little while, and ye shall see me? And because I go to the Father." They said, "Therefore, what is this that he saith, a little while? We cannot tell what he saith." Now Jesus knew that they were desirous to ask him, and said unto them, "Do ye inquire among yourselves that I say, a little while, and ye shall not see me, and again a little while, and ye shall see me? Verily, verily, I say unto you, that ye shall weep and lament, but the world shall do what? Rejoice. And ye shall be sorrowful." And there's a little word. But what? But your sorrow shall be turned into joy. And then he makes a comparison. He says, "And a woman, she is travailing in sorrow, because her hour is come." Notice that phrase, "her hour is come." "But as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembers no more the anguish for the joy that a man has been born into the world. And ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you." And in that day you shall ask me nothing. And then it talks about that we pray to the Father. Now, look at verse in chapter number 17. Well, I've got 1 minute. And as we look at chapter number 17, and I don't know how I'm going to work this out with Easter coming, The next Sunday we need to talk about the resurrection. But let me read just a couple of verses here and then I'll quit. These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is eternal life, that they might know thee, the only what? True God, and who? And Jesus Christ, whom thou sent. That is all the gospel in a nutshell, so to speak. Their time's gone, and I guess I'll figure out between now and next Sunday what approach I need to take. But the prayer of intercession that we see right here is a prayer for you and I and what Christ has done for us. God bless you, and thank you for listening.